This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. I caught up with Jeff Cohen, who heads the Park Center for Independent Media in Ithaca, New York. He's also one of the co-founders of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting and a co-founder of the Roots Action Network. And he has been here in Philadelphia at the Democratic National Convention organizing media for the Bernie Delegates Network. And he is, of course, a longtime media critic. Now, Bill Clinton, the former president, spoke on Tuesday night on the floor of the Democratic National Convention, and I asked Jeff to dissect that speech and also take a look in general at the media coverage, the mainstream media coverage of the DNC, and how the media has actually been doing its job or really not doing its job. Here is that conversation.
I co-founded the online activism group RootsAction.org. In 1986, I founded the progressive media watch group FAIR. I currently am an associate professor of journalism, and I head the Park Center for Independent Media at Ithaca College. So I scrutinize the news media quite closely.
So you've been doing these press conferences and speaking directly to the press. So you've actually had a chance to influence the press. However, the bigger press, CNN, the New York Times and all of them, I noticed there have been a few quotes from Bernie delegates and from people like Norman Solomon creeping in. But in general, how do you view the media coverage of this whole convention, particularly given that this convention is being upended by a bunch of rebellious Bernie delegates?
Well, that's what's so fascinating. I mean, we know during the whole campaign, the corporate-dominated mainstream media wished that Bernie had gone away. They wanted him to go away a month ago, 2 months ago, three. They gave Donald Trump at ABC News last year, when there's a guy on the right coming out of nowhere and ascending in the Republican primaries with big crowds, a guy on the left with even bigger crowds, Bernie Sanders comes over out of nowhere, soaring in the polls. ABC News, just to give one example, 81 minutes of coverage to Donald Trump while they were giving Bernie Sanders 20 seconds. So jump from there to today. And there's this sense among corporate mainstream media, include the media they're usually called liberal, that we're disrupting the show. That, you know, journalists are supposed to be adversarial with the state. There's supposed to be a check and balance on those in power or aspiring to power. But what you see when you watch CNN and MSNBC or ABC News, they're really part of power. And they're offended when outsider groups get in and disrupt the show. So that's what's been the most amazing thing, is that journalists in a free society are supposed to be skeptics. And so what you have is all these Bernie delegates where their main issue is stop the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And what you're seeing when you watch MSNBC is, don't these people know that Hillary's against the Trans-Pacific Partnership? Well, no one here believes she's against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and her close confidant, Terry McAuliffe, the governor of Virginia, just admitted such. I mean, the delegates here, there's a lot of young people in the Bernie Delegates Network. They're new to politics, but they have something that corporate mainstream media thinks they don't have: social media. It's like we're dealing 20 years ago, and they don't understand that these facts go around the internet with the speed of light. And so the upsurge here is because no one believes Hillary Clinton is really against the TPP. They fought like hell to keep Stop the TPP out of the platform. So I'm watching MSNBC and CNN, and Tim Kaine says he's against the TPP. And it's like, journalists are supposed to question people in authority, not be their enablers and their courtiers. In the face of all this gullible mainstream journalism in the New York Times that Hillary's against the TPP, and as of 10 a.m. Sunday, Senator Tim Kaine is against the TPP.
Right. But before that, yeah, if they looked into his record, right, they would know.
Right. I heard Rachel Maddow saying something like that. Don't they know he's come out against it? Well, no. What journalists should know, and what the delegates do know, is that Tim Kaine was one of 13 Senate Democrats who voted to fast-track Trans-Pacific Partnership last year.
Joined the Republicans to
do
so.
Majority Republicans, most Democrats in the Senate, that's not exactly a left-wing organization, the Democratic Senate Caucus, and most of them voted against fast-tracking TPP. And instead of building a bridge, again, what you're hearing from mainstream media is basically a reflection of Team Clinton. The main critique FAIR has always made of mainstream media is they're so connected with power. Their spouses are in power, and they can't separate themselves and play the role a democracy needs, which is inform the public where these people are BSing or where they're claiming to be for this when they're really for that. So obviously, your action and how you voted a year ago should be center stage, and a skeptical journalist, well, now he's claiming he's against it. I think those of us who've been around Democratic Party, progressive politics inside the party and outside the party know that in 2008, both Barack Obama, when they were running for office, and Hillary Clinton said they were going to reappraise NAFTA. Yep. None of us believed that would happen. It did not happen. But during that time, the mainstream media was saying, wow, they're really pounding NAFTA. And so that's the main critique on how they've covered us. I'm not a delegate, but I'm coordinating the media for the Bernie Delegates Network, 1,250, two-thirds of the total Bernie delegates. So the main thing is this utter gullibility, this willful gullibility. And when I've gone up to journalists and I said, you really believe Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine are against the TPP? And it's like, well, they'll sort of, you know, grumble.
I mean, so they know, but they'll write what they feel needs to be written.
Right. Exactly.
So Jeff, what do you make of some of the media coverage of Bill Clinton's speech last night? I don't know if you had a yes. chance to look at it. He painted this glowing portrait of Hillary Clinton, the Hillary Clinton that only he knows, the Hillary Clinton whose good deeds mostly came from decades ago. But also, you know, it doesn't seem like the media accurately and properly teased apart some of the claims he made about Hillary Clinton on immigration, on right. so many other issues.
Right. Well, I watched the Republican convention, and there was all this inaccuracy and misinformation and scapegoating of minorities, and it was unchecked by the mainstream media. But they would talk about like a crazy speech where every sentence or two had an easy to prove inaccuracy, and then they would go to the pundits, and I'm talking about the CNN and MSNBC, not Fox, but and there or NBC and ABC and CBS, and they would go, wow, Rudy Giuliani really connected with the audience. So it was all based on the mainstream media analyzing performance, right. not substance, not policy, not accuracy, not morality. It's just, how did they perform? And as I Facebooked and it went all over the internet, I said, imagine these same journalists in a different country 80 years ago. They would have said, wow, at this rally, Mr. Hitler really connected. You know, because if it's, and again, if you interpret as the mainstream media do, balance and objectivity to mean that you can't question any politician because you'll look biased, then it means you will function as a megaphone for power. And they were a megaphone for power at the Republican convention, where they basically let all of the lies spew. And getting to your question about the Bill Clinton speech, it was quite touching when he talked about their relationship. I've heard that stuff before. I love relationship stories. I like, you know, chick flicks, you know, relationship movies. So, you know, that part of it, and I'm sure not all that's accurate, but it's touching. When, as you say, every time he talked about policy, it was either inaccurate, just 180 degrees wrong, or it was completely cherry-picked. He made it seem like, you'll remember how Hillary Clinton made climate change the central feature of our foreign policy. That's virtually word for word. When Hillary was Secretary of State, she made, well, everyone knows, you could read it in Mother Jones, that she was pushing fracking and U.S. fracking interests all over the world. You cannot simultaneously push fracking all over the world and be making climate change a centerpiece of your foreign policy. He described how she worked so hard and she brought peace between the Israelis and the Gazans. There's not a single person in Gaza or even progressive or Israeli journalists who would say Hillary Clinton rushed in and brought peace. She let the mayhem happen. So,
and she's aligned so closely with Benjamin Netanyahu, yes, a very polarizing figure.
Right, even more than most Democrats who are in the tank for the right-wing Likud party in Israel, Hillary is way out there. Everyone knows it. So what? Here's what should happen if we had a democracy and a journalism functioning, mainstream journalism within that democracy. As soon as that speech was over, all you would have heard was, well, this isn't right. Yep. If she was committed to women and children, and Bill Clinton's up there saying she's been always committed to women and children, as you pointed out, most of it was decades ago. But you would bring out that during the Clinton administration, they ended, it was Bill Clinton working with the right-wing Republicans, they ended aid to families with dependent children, AFDC, which was fought for in the 30s by independent socialist movements and working class movements. It was a big victory with the New Deal, and it had been on the books for 60 years until Bill Clinton got rid of it. You would have mainstream pundits, if we had functioning journalism in a democracy, and imagine if they started doing this tomorrow, all of a sudden politicians would have to start telling the truth more.
Criminal justice, immigration,
everything, yeah. But I mean, another doozy in my mind is in her commitment to women and children, one of the worst exploiters of working class people that pays sub-minimum wage and has a huge part of its workforce having to get on public assistance. And the people who benefit from that company, the Walton family, I'm talking about Walmart, the Walton family is the wealthiest family in the world. And for any pundit after that speech to have not brought out that Hillary Clinton for years was on the board of Walmart, the anti-union corporation, and according to some good reporting that was done years ago, never raised at any board meeting an issue of labor, how we pay labor.
But Jeff, she broke the glass ceiling.
Yeah,
she was the first female board member,
right.
Which is how the narrative of sort of feminism in the White House is being painted.
She broke the glass ceiling when she was, I think, the first woman partner at the corporate law firm she went to soon after she moved to Arkansas, the Rose Law Firm. Bill Clinton last night called it the biggest firm west of the Mississippi River. Now, that gives you an opening, if you're a serious journalist, when the speech ends, to say, well, isn't it interesting? He did refer to the biggest law firm, that's a corporate law firm that represents union busters. It represents environmental criminals, corporations. So, again, she did break the glass. There is the feminist angle, but it's a very wealthy woman's angle that she broke a glass ceiling at that law firm. She broke the glass ceiling, I think, aside from family members, there hadn't been a woman on the Walmart board. So every time she broke a glass ceiling, it was in a very corporate and corrupt fashion, one could argue. Yes, it was great for her. It wasn't necessarily great for women workers or poor women or middle class women. But again, you don't have to be a left winger, and I'm a proud progressive. If you're a serious journalist, you know all this about Bill and Hillary Clinton. You know about Bill Clinton's record in office. I have not heard. Oh, here was the other thing. Elizabeth Warren, the night earlier, Monday night, they kept cutting to Bill Clinton through a bunch of the speeches on that night, was sitting in, you know, the VIP box. And the mainstream cameras from all the networks keep going to the VIP box. So they must have cut away during Elizabeth Warren's speech about five times to Bill Clinton that I saw. It may have been eight, you know, where I'm looking away, taking notes. I try to be meticulous as a journalist. So she says, and never again, by electing Hillary, will we allow Wall Street to bring down the economy of the United States. And the place cheered. I hope it's true that Wall Street isn't allowed to bring down the economy. But if I'm a journalist and I'm in the booth, even the director who tells the camera where, cut to Clinton, that's what I would have said. And then afterwards, I would have instructed journalists on my panel, someone should bring up that it was the Clinton administration and the Clinton Democrats and the Clinton Treasury Department working very close with the right-wing senator from Texas, Phil Gramm, in 1999 and 2000. They deregulated Wall Street, and it was bipartisan. So that should have been pointed out by any journalist, independent in a democracy, but we don't have an independent fourth estate. We have a corporate media that is webbed up with corporate power, which means they're webbed up with the Republican Party, afraid to point out their inaccuracies, and webbed up with the corporate wing of the Democratic Party. And the only one they'll ever do, you know, I saw some amazingly stupid, but it pretended to be fact-checking of Bernie Sanders. How is he going to pay for these So I wish they were as skeptical about the corporate wings of the two major parties.
So finally, Jeff, then, because they are so terrible at doing their actual jobs, but they've been forced to point out the dissension within the party because of the presence of Bernie supporters. You can't walk here without seeing that rebelliousness. So they've reported on the fact that there is this rebellion, minus the reasons behind that rebellion. And so then to the rest of the country,
Looks like craziness.
They don't understand why Bernie supporters are pissed.
Well, that's the key thing, that if the media were doing its job, that this party is overwhelmingly for stopping the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but its leadership is going to push it. And they don't bring out all these other issues of class, labor, environment, climate change. Then the person out there watching the convention through the mainstream media, which is how a lot of them are watching it, are going to be completely perplexed. And so the mainstream pundits who either don't know some of this history or are unwilling to say some of this history, they are like the lyric of the Bob Dylan song, "You know something's happening here, Mr. Jones, but you don't know what it is." You know, so they walk around and they're befuddled, they're angry at the Bernie protesters. But here, let's end on good news. The good news is that independent media may be more powerful in our country than at any time in recent history, perhaps since about 80, I would say in 100 years, since before World War I. I study the history of independent dissident media. Easily you could make the argument, independent media, thanks to the internet, thanks to things that you do, thanks to Free Speech TV, and all the independent groups, and some of them struggling for funds, that millions of people for the first time in history have a chance to get a non-corporate slant on the news every day. In the past, it only happened every week. And it never happened as big as it's happening today. So the Bernie delegates and the Bernie dissidents, they're not getting their news from ABC News, World News, which gave 81 minutes to Trump and only 20 seconds to Bernie Sanders. They're getting their news from Democracy Now!, from Rising Up!, from Alternet, even some of the ones that have gone huge, the Young Turks, Vice. I've been talking to Vice reporters. They get it. They're usually under 30. So you have this big independent media, and that's the good news, and it explains the whole Bernie campaign, that unless there was this alternative way of getting information, the Bernie campaign could not have won nearly 45% of the Democratic primary votes.
Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jeff Cohen is my guest. He is the co-founder of the Roots Action Network, as well as the co-founder of Fairness and Accuracy and Reporting, and heads up the Park Center for Independent Media. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.